Hare Krishna, wishing everyone a very, very happy Sri Narasimha Chaturdashi. Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki jai.
Jai.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankaja Nabhaya Nama Pankaja Maline Nama Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankaja Angraye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, The Signs of God. Reading from Chapter 9, entitled Prahlad Pacifies Lord Narasimhadev with Prayers, Text 5.
Swapadamule patitam tamabhrakam Vilokya deva kripaya pariplutaha Uthapyata chishni adadhat karambhijam Kalahi vitrastadhyam kritabhayam.
Translation. When Lord Narasimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection towards his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Putale Srimate Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Putale Srimate Jaya Pataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Putale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Narasimhadev Bhagavan Ki Jai. So today is the transcendental day. It's a very, very auspicious day. It is the divine appearance of the most merciful, the most astonishing Lord, Sri Narasimhadev. So Lord Narasimhadev, there is something very special about Lord Narasimhadev. You know, if we see any deity of Lord Narasimhadev who are being worshipped around the world in our different centers by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Wherever we see any Narsingadev deity, you know, like, of course, Sri Mayapur Dham, or whether it be New Vrindavan, or this city in Europe where there's a Narsingadev deity. So wherever we see these deities, especially we can see a very beautiful smile of the Lord. Actually, when Mother Shama Gauri asked me to speak on Lord Narsingadev, a special class on Lord Narsingadev, I was actually debating on two topics when she asked me. I was debating. The first topic that came to my mind was the Lord who cannot stop laughing. That was the first topic I chose. But then I thought that it might not be, you know, it might not be, I don't want to say proper, but I thought maybe this will be, okay, the most astonishing Lord. But I was debating with having the topic as the Lord who cannot stop laughing. Because we know that Lord Narsingadev, he appeared in the peak of his anger. You know, all incarnations of God, of Krishna, have appeared for different reasons. The bottom line for the appearance of the Lord has always been to protect his devotees. Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya chatushkritam. So first, foremost purpose of the Lord's appearance has always been paritranaya sadhunam, to protect his devotees. Be it Matsya avatar, be it Kurma avatar, be it Varaha, be it Parashuram, any of them. The bottom line is always for protection of the devotees, in general. But Narsingadev, he is the one and only who has come to protect one devotee, this little boy called Prahlad, 5-year-old boy, Prahlad Maharaj. So I'd like to start off with a very interesting story. The one time when Krishna and Arjuna, they were, you know, we all know this is, you know, way before even the battle of Kurukshetra, we know that Krishna and Arjuna were very, very, you know, fast friends. Like, Krishna and Arjuna would actually sleep on the same bed. They were so close friends. Arjuna has himself declared that in the Bhagavad Gita, that they were so close. And Arjuna feels guilty that he has addressed Krishna so many occasions. He has addressed him very informally. So Arjuna feels very guilty that, you know, he knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the fact of his love, of his Sakya Ras towards Krishna was so high that the supremacy of Krishna was at times hidden from Arjuna's reciprocation. So Arjuna felt very guilty. And then after, of course, the battle of Kurukshetra, one day, Krishna and Arjuna were walking together. They were reminiscing their old days. And Arjuna, he just started telling Krishna that, my dear friend Krishna, you know, I always feel that, I used to think before the battle of Kurukshetra that I'm your dearmost friend. And Krishna was smiling, yes, yes, Arjuna, you are my dearmost friend. And then Arjuna said, but after the battle of Kurukshetra, I feel that I'm your greatest devotee also. And then Krishna looked at Arjuna and said, really? You think that you're my greatest devotee? He said, yes. See, you just gave me instructions on following the, you instructed me by speaking the Bhagavad Gita, and I was determined not to fight, but look at me, you know, I followed your instruction, and I fought the way you told me to fight. I fought like that. I did exactly what you said. So I'm not only your best friend, but I'm also your greatest devotee, Arjuna told Krishna. And Krishna smiled. He said, okay, that's wonderful, Arjuna, that you have this very nice realization. Come, let me introduce you to one devotee. Let's go. You know, we are walking. Let's just walk a little bit more. On the bank of the river, there's one lady. I want you to meet her. I want to introduce you to her. Then Arjuna said, "Acha, you want to introduce me to a lady? You are so happy with me that you want to introduce me to a lady." And Arjuna started joking with Krishna. And then Krishna said, "Ha ha, yes, yes, come, come, let's go." So then Krishna brought Arjuna in front of one small hut. And there was an old lady who was sitting in front of the hut on the bank of a river. And Krishna told Arjuna that, "Go and meet that lady and come back. Just go talk to her." And then Arjuna noticed from a distance that this lady, she had three swords in front of her. And she was sharpening one of them. And then when she would feel that one of them is sharpened, she would keep that aside. She would sharpen the second one and she would keep it aside. Then she would sharpen the third one, she would keep it aside. And then she would again start sharpening the first one again. So that's all she was doing, this old lady. And then Arjuna told Krishna, "Kanha, what is this? Why did you bring me here? I thought you were first of all taking me to somebody young. But now you brought me here to this old lady. Okay, if you brought me here to the old lady, but what is she doing? You know, like she's sitting and sharpening swords. She's a sword sharpener. You want me to sharpen my weapons with her?" So Krishna said, no, Arjuna, you just go and ask her. What is she doing with the swords? Ask her. Go." So then Arjuna was a little confused. He said, "Okay, Kanha, you wait here. I'll go ask her and come back." So Krishna smiled and then he said, "Okay, you go now." So Arjuna came in front of the old lady. And then Arjuna offered his respects to the old lady. And he said to that old lady, "My dear old lady." And the old lady looked up at Arjuna and said, "You know, I was just passing by from here with my friend and I saw you sharpening these swords. So are you a sword sharpener? Are you a weapon sharpener? You know, so would you be able to sharpen my sword also? What are you doing with these swords?" So the old lady, she said, No. I am not a weapon sharpener. I don't do any of that as my profession." So Arjuna was shocked. He said, "Acha, you don't do that as your profession? So what do you do? You know, what are you doing with these three swords?" So this old lady said, "Well, these three swords are for three different persons. If I see them in front of me, I'm going to just kill them." So then, you know, Arjuna was shocked hearing that response. He said, "Then, my dear old lady, you can't even stand up properly and you want to kill three people? Okay, tell me who those three people are." So then the old lady said, "Okay, listen, sit. So then Arjuna sat down in front of the old lady and then he said, she said, "You know, this first sword is for this boy named Sudama." And Arjuna was shocked. He said, "Who is Sudama?" He said, "Sudama? You don't know Sudama? Sudama is that friend of Krishna, no? He was in the Gurukul. And then when Krishna went off to, you know, to Dwarka, and that Sudama became very poor. And then although he was very poor, when his wife told him to go to Dwarka, you know what he took for my Lord? My Supreme Lord, he is so kind, he is so merciful. You know, he sits in Dwarka and eats Rajbhog. And this Sudama, he took, you know, only dry chipped rice for my Lord." And so then Arjuna said, "But my dear mother, he took whatever he could as best, whatever he was having, you know, with him. He even borrowed that and he took that for Krishna. So you should see that." He said, No, you don't know anything. You know, when he was in the Gurukul, he used to cheat my Lord and he ate chipped rice at that time very nicely without giving my Lord. And now he, because he, you know, just wanted to go see him, he took just dry chipped rice. If he's begging for it, he could have begged for something else also. Then why he took this only dry chipped rice? And he, that too, with that audacity, he went there to Dwarka and he went and gave this dry chipped rice to my Lord. And thank God Rukmini Devi stopped him from eating more than two times. And then, my Lord, look at him. You know, so much mercy he gave to that Sudama. He made him all have up all opulences. So this first sword is for that Sudama who gave my Lord so much trouble. You know, he made, first of all, in his Gurukul days, he made my Lord not, you know, fulfill his hunger. He would starve my Lord, and he himself would eat. And then when he was able to give, he gave him only dry chipped rice. So that's why I'm very angry with this Sudama. So this first sword is for that Sudama. Whenever I see him, I'm going to kill him. So then Arjuna said, okay, wow, okay. And who is the second sword for? Mata, please tell me. So then this, you know, old lady said, the second sword is a very special boy. And then Arjuna said, who special boy? She said, this one is for a five-year-old boy. And then Arjuna was shocked. Arjuna said, oh, Krishna, five-year-old boy, what can a five-year-old boy do? He said, what do you mean, what can a five-year-old boy do? This five-year-old boy, he made my Lord lose his sleep. My Lord, whenever he would want to take any rest, he would say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And my Lord would have to leave his sleep and come and protect this fellow. And then if my Lord was sitting and eating, again he would say, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And my Lord would have to leave his eating and he would have to come and protect this boy. Every moment, anything would happen, this boy would go, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and my Lord would have to leave anything that he was doing and come and protect this boy. Kyu? Nothing else my Lord has to do other than protect this boy. And then out in the end, what happened? In the end, to protect this boy, finally, my Lord had to give up his most beautiful Tribhanga Lalita Madan Mohana Rupa and take on a ghastly form of being of a half man, half lion. What kind of incarnation was that? You know, my beautiful Lord had to take on this, you know, half man, half lion incarnation and come and protect this boy Prahlad. So this boy Prahlad, he has made my Lord look so ferocious. So therefore, the second sword is for this Prahlad. So Arjuna was really, you know, shattered listening to this. Arey Bapre, what a kind of, you know, devotion is this lady in, and shivering a lot at this time. Arjuna, with shivering lips, he asked, so my dear mother, who is this last sword for? Then the mother said that, listen to me, this last one, you know, even if I let go, even if I forgive Sudama, even if I forgive Prahlad, this third person I will never forgive. Then Arjuna was shivering. He said, why will you not forgive this third person? And she said, you know, this third person, he is the one who troubled my Lord the most. Then Arjuna said, really, who is this person who troubled your Lord the most? Who is it? He said, see, my Lord, he is always in very, very comfortable positions. He is always enjoying in the middle of the night with the gopis. He is always doing such wonderful amorous pastimes. But this man made my Lord sit under the hot sun on a chariot and, you know, face so many arrows in the battlefield. And being a chariot driver, he was always being, you know, kicked on his shoulder by this chariot driver and by the chariot person. He was kicked on his shoulder, whether to go right, go left. He was kicked on his right shoulder, left shoulder. And he took the kicks of this person, this Arjuna. What does he think of himself? That he can make my Lord be his sarathi? This is his audacity? How dare he? In the hot sun, my Lord's face would become red. His beautiful bluish complexion would turn reddish. And he was taking so much of, you know, austerity in controlling the horses, in driving the chariot. You know, there would be beads of perspiration on his forehead, which would appear like pearls on a black surface. And like this, my Lord was suffering so much by this Arjuna. This Arjuna made him a chariot driver and really made him undergo so much trouble. If I see this Arjuna, I will forgive the first two people. Sudama and Prahlad, I'll forgive, no problem. But this Arjuna, I will never forgive. I will just, as soon as anyone tells me there is Arjuna, I will get up and I will kill him and I will come back. So I will kill this Arjuna. So Arjuna heard this and then he just lifted his dhoti and he ran from there. He ran to Krishna and he said, Krishna, please forgive me. And Krishna started laughing and laughing and laughing. And Krishna said, so who is big devotee? Are you the great devotee or is that old lady a great devotee? And then Arjuna laughed and he just embraced Krishna and said, yes, yes, I accept that that lady, she is the one who is great devotee, because what feeling she has, kind of love that she has for you, it is incomparable. That all she can think of is only about you, that any kind of trouble that you are taking, you know, is, you know, that's what she's thinking. All of us generally think that how you will solve our problem. But she is thinking how she will make your life more better, how she can give you more comfort and not disturb you. That is what her mood is. So therefore, she is definitely a great devotee. So, saying this, we understand that Lord Nrisimhadev, of course, he loves it when, you know, his devotees call out to him. And whenever Maharaj Prahlad would call out to Krishna very lovingly, Lord Krishna would immediately come and protect devotee Prahlad. So Prahlad Maharaj is a very, very special soul, extremely special soul. And Lord Nrisimhadev, he has appeared just to protect this one little devotee of his from the atrocities that his father, his own father, was doing upon Prahlad Maharaj. You know, many of us complain that, you know, our situation is so horrible that if we were probably in a better situation, we could have served the Lord much better. We always say that, oh, if this situation was right, then probably I would have served Krishna better. If this situation was right in my life, I would be able to serve Krishna better. But none of us have the situation where our own father wants to kill us because we want to serve Krishna. We've not been able to find such a soul other than Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj underwent so much of trouble just because he was wanting to unmotivatedly think and worship Krishna. And his own father became his greatest enemy. So like this, we need to understand that whatever situation we may be in, the great devotees like Prahlad Maharaj or Arjuna, you know, Arjuna was faced in a battlefield fighting his own relatives. We have to fight the negative qualities of, you know, Naam, Yash, Puja, Pratishtha, all of these negativity, we have to confront those. But Arjuna, he was personally confronting his own relatives, his own grandfather, his own brothers. He was confronting all of them in the battlefield. At least we don't have to fight and kill our own relatives. We don't have to do that. But, you know, so our situations is much better than what these great devotees have gone through in their own lives. And in spite of that, they have successfully remembered Krishna. So if they have done it, they are showing us the way that even we can follow in their footsteps and be able to remember Krishna in not such acute situations that they were in, but in lesser acute situations. You know, one of the qualities in this material world is that everyone feels that my quality is the greatest one. The suffering that I am going through, that is the greatest one. Nobody can go through the suffering that I am going through. And nobody can understand the suffering that I am going through. So this thought process is going on in everybody's mind. That is Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, people actually think that I am the one who is suffering the most. There is nobody else who is suffering the most other than me. My situation is the most unique. And look at me, in spite of all this, I am able to serve Krishna. So there is some kind of positive ego that comes in between us and service to Krishna. So that is something we need to understand, that everyone in this world is undergoing some tribulations or the other. So our problem is not the most unique one. Everybody is undergoing unique problems. But in spite of that, how much are we using those situations to surrender more to Krishna? How much are we doing that? That is the thing that we must always remember. And the way that we can really remember those things in our own life is by remembering these beautiful pastimes. You know, when these transcendental days come, when we remember the pastimes of the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is explained that it is like an oasis in a desert. In a desert, when we find some, you know, source of water, then it is like life-giving. It saves our life. So similarly, these appearance days of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are like oasis. You know, where we can get so much reservoir of water, we can quench our thirst from this Davagni, from this material fire-like place that we are in this desert-like material world. So the appearance of Lord Nrsimhadev is something, this particular day is something very, very dear to the devotees, especially. And especially if we look at a picture of Mayapur Nrsimha, we can see that he is a Lord that cannot stop laughing. And this was actually explained by His Grace Jananivas Prabhu. One time, he was explaining to us that, you know, Lord Nrsimhadev, he's supposed to be the most ferocious one. He is the most angry Lord. And you know, if you see Mayapur Nrsimha, nowhere in the world is, you know, Ugra Nrsimha worshipped. You know, this is the moment, this Ugra Nrsimha, he is not recommended to be worshipped anywhere in the world. Many deities are called Ugra Nrsimha, but this posture of the Lord is specifically called Ugrastanu Nrsimha. Ugrastanu means that the Lord that who is, you know, this was the moment when the Lord was just about to be, you know, Hiranyakashipu just struck the pillar, you know, when Hiranyakashipu asked the final question to Prahlad Maharaj, that where is your Lord? Is he in this palace? Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, he is in this palace. And then Hiranyakashipu asked, is he in this pillar? And then Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, he is in this pillar. So then Hiranyakashipu got so angry, he said, okay, if your Lord is in this pillar, I will crash this pillar down. And then he just took his gada and he just smashed the pillar. When he smashed the pillar, from the pillar appeared Lord Nrsimhadev. Jai Nrsimhadev Bhagavan ki jai. And when the pillar broke into two, Lord Nrsimhadev just manifested from the pillar. And when he manifested in the pillar, Lord Nrsimhadev was actually in the peak of his anger, because till now, the Lord was actually just protecting Prahlad. You know, when Prahlad was thrown in a pit of snakes, when he was thrown in the boiling pot of oil, when he was thrown from the cliff, when he was asked to be, you know, crushed down under elephants, all of these situations, the Lord came and protected Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj was completely under the transcendental protection of the Lord at all these situations. But the Lord did not make his, public appearance. He didn't make his public appearance. He just came and protected Prahlad, and he just disappeared. So he didn't make a public appearance all this time. But at this moment, this was the moment when his own father had given Prahlad a bowl of poison to drink. And when he gave that bowl of poison to this baby Prahlad, Prahlad actually just offered it to Krishna, and when he ate that poison became nectar. And he was unaffected. So that enraged Hiranyakashipu so much, and he started beating Prahlad, and he started getting so angry on Prahlad. And Narsingadev was, Krishna was not able to tolerate that his little boy, his little devotee was undergoing so much of tribulations by his own father. So when Hiranyakashipu, when he broke the pillar, the Lord was thinking that when am I going to make my public appearance and when am I going to crush this insect, Hiranyakashipu? That was the anger that, was manifesting in front of Hiranyakashipu in the form of Lord Narsingadev. So when the pillar broke, Lord Narsingadev, he was roaring like a, so ferociously he was roaring. He was so angry. And his legs, it was like, he was standing in the pillar and his legs, it was bent in his knees. Just like if you're standing at a height, if you want to jump, we take a stance, like we are about to jump, so we bend our knees and we take a stance just before jumping. So similarly, Lord Narsingadev, he, in Mayapur form of Lord Narsingadev, the Ugrastanu form of Lord Narsingadev, he is like that position. The pillar has just broken and the Lord is just ready to pounce on Hiranyakashipu. So his knees are, it is bent. You can notice that in the form of Lord Narsingadev, how Lord Narsingadev, both of his knees are actually bent, like he's ready to pounce, make his attack on Hiranyakashipu. And so, so this form of Lord Narsingadev, this particular moment, of Lord Narsingadev, he is supposed to be the most angry. Because he is just coming out of the pillar, he is ready to pounce on Hiranyakashipu for all the atrocities he did to his dear devotee Prahlad. So at this time, all the anger that is there in the Lord is, it is culminating. So then when he came out, when he pounced down on Hiranyakashipu and then he started fighting, at that time the Lord started enjoying the fight. He was enjoying the fight. He was playing. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that how the Lord was actually playing with Hiranyakashipu just like a cat and mouse. Just like the mouse, before it is eaten by the cat actually plays around with the mouse. So similarly, it is said that Hiranyakashipu, he could have been just, immediately killed by Lord Narsingadev, but Lord Narsingadev was just, satisfying the itchiness in his hand to fight. And he was fighting with Hiranyakashipu. So that time, the Lord was enjoying that fight also. So there was anger, but it was mixed with some kind of happiness of the satisfaction of fighting with the opponent. That satisfaction was there. So the peak of anger is actually at that moment when the Lord was about to just pounce from the pillar. And that is the shot that is there, in the deity of Lord Narsingadev in Mayapur. So it is explained that Srila Prabhupada desired that this particular deity of Lord Narsingadev be worshipped in Mayapur Dham. And, I'd like to share this pastime very briefly about how Lord Narsingadev made his appearance in Mayapur Dham. Of course, there's the, everyone might have read there's a PDF document. It's called Nrsingha Leela. It's a book, you know, online. It's available online also. It's composed and written by His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu, who is the head pujari of Lord Nrsinghadev. And there are many, many pastimes that Pankajangri Prabhu has collected through different devotees, and he has put them in this particular book. And so, you know, Nrsingha Leela, that book is there. It has the appearance of Lord Nrsinghadev in Mayapur, but I'd like to just narrate it as I had heard it personally from the lotus mouth of Pankajangri Prabhu. And, you know, in those days, it's the, you know, of my early days in Mayapur, back in 96, that time Mayapur was not the way it is today. It was not this busy. When we go to Mayapur now, you feel like you are lost, you know, because there's so much of rush, there's so much of crowd. But in Mayapur those days, it felt that, you know, we had the deities to ourselves, you know, like that. Lot of the mood was very different at that time. So one time, I remember Pankajangri Prabhu, I had the service of, cleaning Lord Nrsinghadev's teeth. He has silver teeth. And I had the service of, you know, putting kumkum and oil, sindoor and oil, basically, a mixture of sindoor and oil on the lotus tongue of Lord Nrsinghadev. That was one of my services that I had in Mayapur. So the tongue is actually a silver tongue, and that tongue would be, it would be massaged with this mixture of sindoor and oil so that it shines, you know. So I was doing that seva, and Pankajangri Prabhu just came. He just came back from doing the archana of the Lord at around 6:15 in the morning. And that day, I was just there, and there were some other devotees also. And Pankajangri Prabhu said that today evening, I'll tell a special pastime of how Lord Nrsinghadev appeared in Mayapur. So whoever wants to come, you're welcome to come. So then I was very excited, and then my mother, my father, and myself, and some other devotees also, we just joined, and we came together. And that time, the two brothers, they would stay on top of, they used to actually stay in the pujari room of Radha Madhava. Now they have their living quarters behind Panchatattva, but at that time they had it on top of Radha Madhava. Just a small tiny room which had a lot of puja paraphernalia. They would just sleep there on the floor. Like, this is how the two brothers, they would stay. Very austere conditions they would stay, actually. And so we just went there, like 5-6 of us were there, and Pankajangri Prabhu started narrating the pastime of how Lord Nrsinghadev made his appearance in Sri Mayapur Dham. And he said that Srila Prabhupada actually desired that, you know, Ugrastanu Nrsingha should be worshipped in Mayapur. And so, seeing the scriptures, His Grace Atmatattva Prabhu, who is Prabhupada's disciple, he made a sketch of how Mayapur Nrsingha, this Ugrastanu Nrsingha, should look. And then he went to the sthapatis in South India, because that is where, you know, stone deities were carved. And he went there, but the sthapatis said no, that we cannot carve this Nrsingha because, you know, he is the most Ugra form of the Lord, and we cannot carve him. He cannot be worshipped anywhere in the world. And then Atmatattva Prabhu went to different places, but he was always, you know, he came back dejected. Nobody was ready to carve. And then after some days, Atmatattva Prabhu received another phone call from one of the sthapatis, and he said that if this deity is going to be worshipped in Mayapur Dham, by ISKCON devotees. I have asked my guru, and my guru has said that if these two conditions are there, if it is going to be worshipped by ISKCON, and if it is going to be if the deity is going to be in Mayapur Dham, then I can carve the deity. So then Atmatattva Prabhu said, yes, it is going to be in the ISKCON center, which is the world headquarters of Mayapur. And world headquarters of ISKCON is Mayapur. So he is going to be in Mayapur and he is going to be worshipped by ISKCON devotees. So then the Sthapati said, okay, I will carve him. So like this, after 15 days, Atmatattva Prabhu went back to the Sthapati and said, so is everything ready? He said, no, nothing is ready. So then, you know, after 2 months again, Atmatattva Prabhu went back and he said, is everything ready? He said, no, nothing is ready. And then third time when he went back, it seems the Sthapati explained to Atmatattva Prabhu that the reason why nothing is ready is because they have to actually carve Lord Nrisimhadev from a living stone. And Atmatattva Prabhu was perplexed. He said, what do you mean by a living stone? He said, a living stone is that stone that, you know, Nrisimhadev, he has to be 4 feet tall. That is the size that you want, of 4 feet tall. But this entire deity has to be carved from one single stone. There cannot be any, you know, joints and, you know, anything like that. He has to be carved from one stone only. And that stone has to be a living stone. So Atmatattva Prabhu said, okay, I'm confused. And we were hearing this also for the first time. Those days this book was not there. And it was the first time Pankajangri Prabhu was revealing all these things. And, you know, all of us were really very anxious to understand what is a living stone. And then the Sthapati explained that this living stone, any stone which is actually, there's a particular kind of insect which lives on stone, which eats stone. It is called Vajrakita. So this stone, this insect has to enter from one side of the stone, eat through it, and make a hole through the other side and get out. So there has to be a hole through and through of the stone. So that stone is called a living stone. There will be a small, like a pipeline made in that stone, and that qualifies a stone to become a living stone. So we were shocked that our Lord Nrisimhadev was actually carved from a living stone. That is the injunction that is given in the scriptures for carving Ugrastana Nrisimha. And then after 6 months of looking and looking, the Sthapati finally found the boulder, this big, you know, stone through which there was this little pipeline, you know, like a little pipeline through and through made by this Vajrakita. And then he immediately sent a message that the stone has been found. And he immediately started work, and it is said that the Sthapati, actually whoever is carving the deity, they cannot do that in the premises of the city. They have to go out into the outskirts of the city, make a little straw hut, and you know, he was sitting over there by himself and he was carving the deity. And it took him almost a year to finish the deity, and when he finished the deity, you know, he saw that the deity was complete. So there was some marriage that the Sthapati had to attend. So without informing the devotees in Mayapur that the deity was ready, the Sthapati thought that let me first go attend this ceremony at, you know, at his local place, and then he will inform the devotees that the deity is carved and they can take the deity away. So Lord Nrisimhadev, he was left in this little straw hut in this, you know, in the outskirts of the city, in a little forest kind of area, and the Sthapati went to attend this ceremony at his hometown. And then suddenly the Sthapati receives news that that whole forest, entire forest has, you know, has caught on flame. There is fire. And the sthapati came running to this cottage, and there was no more cottage over there. And everything was burnt down to the ground, and Lord Nrsimhadev was standing, in his all his glory, Lord Nrsimhadev was standing ferociously, he was standing over there. And the sthapati was so scared, and he immediately called Atmatattva Prabhu, and he said, "Come immediately and take your deity. He is burning the entire village down. You please take him to Mayapur, and only in Mayapur he'll be okay. So just take him. Come immediately and take him." So little Prahlad was also carved, and Lord Nrsimhadev was there. So the devotees came along with Atmatattva Prabhu. They had hired a truck, and they laid some straw and, some soft material. They put down the deity of Lord Nrsimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj over there and covered him up. And, the truck had to pass through different state borders, before coming into West Bengal. So at every state border, they are supposed to give taxes. Road taxes they were supposed to give at the borders. So, Pankajangi Prabhu explains that, we were all sitting in the truck, in the front of the truck, we were sitting, and the border police, they would come, they would say, ISKCON, Bideshi means, foreigners. So we'll take a lot of tax. We'll take a lot of tax from these people. So these police would come and they would, harass the devotees and say, "Oh, you've got, what do you have in the back?" Then the devotees would say, "Go look." Pankajangi Prabhu would say, "Go look what is there in the back." And then they would open that, the blue cloth, and they would see Lord Nrsimhadev, like that, And they would feel so scared. They would say, no, take him. You don't have to give anything. So Lord Nrsimhadev, it is explained that he came without giving any taxes. In any of the states, he did not give any tax. And Lord Nrsimhadev appeared in, made his appearance in West Bengal. And then finally, he came to Mayapur. And in Mayapur, he was actually installed. He was installed. And when he was installed, that day, it was a very special day when Lord Nrsimhadev was installed in Mayapur. And many, many devotees were there, including Jayaprataka Maharaj was one of the devotees who had installed Lord Nrsimhadev. And Jayaprataka Maharaj recollects that this particular day was very, very special when the Lord was installed. And he was actually drilled in, and if you see in Mayapur, the deities are supposed to be facing a particular side. In Mayapur, the deities face south. But Lord Nrsimhadev, he faces the west. And there is a specific reason for that. The reason why Lord Nrsimhadev is facing the west is because that is the main gate. He's facing the main gate, the main entrance to Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir. Because Mayapur was under so much attack many, many times, by dacoits. Dacoits used to attack Mayapur. And, when they were attacked like this, one of the main reasons why Nrsimhadev came was to protect Mayapur Dham. So that is why he is defying all the Vastu, preferences where the deity should be actually facing, and he's facing west because Lord Nrsimhadev is protecting, any unwanted, unscrupulous people who are trying to enter the Dham. Lord Nrsimhadev is driving them away. That's why he's facing the main gate, the main entrance of Mayapur. And that day, there was a very special thing that was told by Jayaprataka Maharaj. He said that the reason why Lord Nrsimhadev is going to be very happy here in Sri Mayapur Dham, although he is the most ugra, he is the most ferocious form of the Lord, and he cannot be worshipped anywhere else in the world except for Mayapur, is because that when Lord Nrsimhadev has entered Mayapur, he has entered the premises of Mayapur Dham, the presiding deity of Mayapur Dham is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So any deity who comes into Mayapur Dham, they take on the mood of this most Audarya incarnation of the Lord. They take on the most merciful mood of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So although it is Lord Narsingadev in his most ferocious form, but he is actually in his most Audarya form. He is very, very Audarya, very merciful towards his devotees because he is in the mood of Lord Chaitanya. That is the secret of Mayapur Narsingadev. And that is the secret why, you know, Mayapur is the only place where this Ugra form of the Lord can be worshipped. This Ugra Narsingha can be worshipped. So this is the pastime of the appearance of Lord Narsingadev. And then Jananivas Prabhu told us a very, very sweet thing. Very sweet, exchange was told by Jananivas Prabhu. And he said that, you know, most of us, we tend to think that Lord Narsingadev is very ferocious. He's very angry. But when we look at Mayapur Narsingha, he looks as if he is laughing, not just smiling, but he is laughing. You know, if you, his mouth is always wide open and he's laughing. Ha, 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 he's laughing. So why is it like this? Why do we feel as devotees that, you know, the Lord is always laughing, you know, whenever we see him? It is because Jananivas Prabhu gave the example. He said that the tigress, they are, you know, the worst, you know, even elephants fear a tigress, you know, the mightiest of the elephants. You know, a tigress can come and pounce on the elephant and can kill an elephant also. The tigress is so powerful. But the tigress has special love, special affection towards her own cubs, towards her own children. She is playing, she is just giving so much affection, so much love to her own children, to her own cubs. So that is the condition of us and Lord Narsingadev. The Lord Narsingadev, for him, he is actually, you know, death for everybody else who is not a devotee. He is death for them. But for us who are taking shelter of Lord Narsingadev, we are, you know, surrendering to the lotus feet of Lord Narsingadev, he is becoming like that merciful mother tiger. Tigress, he's becoming like that. And, you know, he is having that special affection, and therefore he is always displaying his unlimited laughter towards us. That is Lord Narsingadev in Mayapur. So very, very, very merciful Lord Narsingadev. And at one time I remember, you know, most of us know His Grace Mukunda Datta Prabhu. Mukunda Datta Prabhu is a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he's a wonderful singer. And he was based in Houston for some time. And one time I remember Mukunda Datta Prabhu asked me that, why does Lord Narsingadev wear the tiger claw pendant? And he just not wears only one tiger pendant, he actually wears three of them. He wears three tiger pendant claws. You know, tiger claws pendant is actually worn by Krishna. Mother Jashoda had actually put that on Krishna to ward off the evil eye, you know, so that drishti, you know, the evil eye should not touch Krishna. So Mother Jashoda, like a protection, had put this tiger claw pendant on Krishna. So Mukunda Datta Prabhu asked me that Narsingadev, he is supposed to be warding off all evil. You know, he is the one, he is Vighna Nashana, he is the one who is the protector. He is the one who destroys all evil. So why is he wearing that as a protection? It's a very valid question, you know. So then I had actually heard this from Jananivas Prabhu, and I repeated the same thing to Mukunda Datta Prabhu, who was very happy hearing this. And I said to him that he was asking me this question, and I said, the reason why Narsingadev is wearing tiger claw pendant is because devotees, you know, yes, Lord Nrsimhadev is the protector for everybody. He is a protector of his devotees, but his devotees also feel a certain amount of protection towards Lord Nrsimhadev. So that Lord Nrsimhadev can do his job nicely, so devotees feel that there should be something to protect even Lord Nrsimhadev. So in the Vatsalya Bhava, devotees have actually offered this tiger claw pendants to Lord Nrsimhadev so that Lord Nrsimhadev is protected while he is protecting other devotees. So even with Lord Nrsimhadev, the Vatsalya Ras prevails in Mayapur. This is possible only in Mayapur, that Lord Nrsimhadev is wearing. If you notice very carefully, where both of his hands meet in the front, you will see there are three tiger claw pendants that Lord Nrsimhadev wears. Very, very special. Very special, Lord Nrsimhadev. And, I will conclude by telling one special pastime that, in Mayapur, in the 90s, after 95-96, we started getting a lot of floods, you know. 99 and 2000 were one of the biggest floods that we had in Mayapur. And during flood time, a lot of devotees, they would just, you know, leave Mayapur and go away. They would go to Puri, they would go to Vrindavan, and most of our homes, we used to stay in behind Srila Prabhupada's Pushpa Samadhi in the Grihastha area, and our home was on the ground floor in those days. That time we had a home we were in the ground floor, and our home would become completely Dwarka, completely under the water it would become. And so we would have to move to the guest house. We would come and stay in the long building. And all devotees would actually stay in the long building. And through Srila Prabhupada Park, the park that is in between long building and the lotus building, the temple, there would be a bamboo bridge that would be constructed. So we would walk, over the bamboo bridge across, and then we would have to jump inside the temple room, which would have, I would literally drown because, I'm very short, for those of you who've seen me, but there would be water till up to the neck, up to my neck inside the temple room. And we would do Mangalarti by standing over there. We would climb onto the platform also. And at that time, the water was just, reaching. It had entered Lord Nrsimhadev's altar. So one day when we were walking, and it would be a very pleasant thing, actually a lot of brahmacharis, everyone, whoever were there, all the residents of Mayapur at that time, we would all stay together in the long building, in the chakra building. And we would all walk together to the Mangalarti. And even little snakes, they would also go along with us for attending Mangalarti. So we would always see so many snakes going around. And one day, I remember, we were doing Darshanarti, and we saw that, from Garuda, Garuda Dev is near the entrance on the other side, the main entrance of the temple. From Garuda Dev's side, we saw that there was one snake. It was, taking a, it was as if it was pushing two lotuses, two lotuses with leaves and everything. It was pushing, the snake was pushing the lotuses, and we saw it entering the temple through the main gate, and it came inside. We were all doing Darshanarti at that time. Radha Madhava had just opened up, and we were doing Darshanarti, and Nrsimhadev was already open. There was water till Lord Nrsimhadev's, it was just about to touch Lord Nrsimhadev's lotus feet. It had not yet touched Lord Nrsimhadev's lotus feet. But, so the water was at that level at that time. And then we noticed, so we were all standing on the platform just below Radha Madhava. We couldn't stand on the ground level because the water was very high. So we were standing right below Radha Madhava on the platform, and we were singing Govinda Madhi Purusham. And we saw this snake, you know, many devotees, we were there, like 10, 15 of us were there, and we noticed that the snake was coming. He was pushing this lotus and coming. And then we started following the snake, you know, we started looking where the snake is going. And the snake went straight into Lord Narsingadev's altar. And we saw, when we came out, we saw that that lotus had, you know, gone and stayed in right in the lotus feet of Lord Narsingadev. It was a miraculous thing, you know, to witness that how the snake just pushed and pushed this lotus and just brought it in front of Lord Narsingadev's lotus feet, and we couldn't see the snake anymore. And there were so many snakes in Mayapur, you know. Even now, there are many, many snakes in Mayapur. But till today, there's not even a single incident of any devotee being harmed by a snake, you know, by a snake bite or, you know, anything like that happening. It has never happened. So Lord Narsingadev is always there protecting, you know. And one time, Pankajangri Prabhu shared, you know, every day what we would do is after Darshanarti, Pankajangri Prabhu would stand inside the altar, and we would also go inside Lord Narsingadev's altar. You know, when Mother Ganges would come inside the temple, at that time, you know, Mayapur's Audarya, or, you know, the most merciful nature of the Dham, would become more merciful, you know. So even being, you know, in woman body, we would be able to go inside a little bit onto the altar. And so we were there, and Pankajangri Prabhu one day started telling us one pastime that happened to him just that morning. He said, you know, today morning I thought I'm gone. So we said, why, Prabhu, what happened? He said, you know, I just finished dressing, and they don't close the door at that time when they dress, because, you know, the doors are kept open, and Narsingadev gets dressed just like that. And he said that after finishing dressing, you know, he went behind, because behind there is a small shelf behind Lord Narsingadev, inside the altar itself. There's a small shelf next to Anantashesh where, you know, some of the jewelry of Lord Narsingadev is kept. So Pankajangri Prabhu said that he went there to keep some jewelry, and he saw that near the shelf there was one big snake. You know, poisonous one. You know, the poisonous snakes are actually dangerous ones because they cannot step into the water. And, you know, if there is a water snake, means they are not, they're not poisonous, because poisonous snakes cannot enter water. So this snake was on the shelf, and Pankajangri Prabhu, as soon as he went there, the snake kind of took out his hood. It took out its hood, and then Pankajangri Prabhu said, uh-oh, it's here for a chunk of me, you know, it's going to have me for breakfast. And he started joking, you know, he said, I thought I'm gone, this snake is here to have his meal, and I was a, you know, skinny old, you know, British guy, and he's going to have me for his meal. So, he, you know, but then the snake just looked at Pankajangri Prabhu, and then just put its hood down, and then the snake just, you know, little bit it stepped into the water, and then it climbed onto the walls of Lord Narsingadev's altar, and just through the walls it just went away. So there was no, you know, nothing done. You know, so these are the close encounters that is there during the flood times, but by Lord Narsingadev's mercy, all these, you know, are availed. No, there is no, you know, untoward incident that has ever happened by the mercy of Lord Narsingadev. And one very special thing that we used to get to do by the mercy of Pankajangri Prabhu and Jananivas Prabhu is that, you know, especially in the flood of 99 and 2000, the water had, you know, touched Lord Narsingadev. So when the water level kept rising, Narsingadev started, you know, those of you who have seen the vision of Lord Narsingadev just before his abhishek, he is draped in this white cloth, white dhoti. So like that, Narsingadev was, you know, when the water started, was just kept on rising, Pankajami Prabhu just dressed him in that white dhoti. And then we were all allowed to massage the body of Lord Narsingadev with ghee. Because Mother Ganges, she brings in lot of, you know, there's lot of dirt in her water. Dirt in the sense, you know, there's kind of a sand that it, or mud, not sand also, I should say it's mud. This mud, it sticks to the surface. It sticks. Wherever it is, it just sticks. It leaves a mark because of the nature of Mother Ganges. She carries a lot of this mud. So, to avoid Mother Ganges, this mud to stick onto Lord Narsingadev, and we know that how Lord Narsingadev has, you know, his jewelry that is engraved, you know, there's like, it is engraved in his body, you know, like jewelry is engraved. So there's a lot of, you know, engravings on Lord Narsingadev's body. So if the sand, if the mud gets stuck over there, it's going to be very difficult to take that mud out. So what was done is that the deities, were, the deity of Lord Narsingadev was massaged with ghee so that this mud doesn't stick to the body of Lord Narsingadev and it just, you know, washes away like that. So, you know, we had that opportunity of massaging Lord Narsingadev with ghee and, you know, just standing over there and massaging him, it just was amazing. It was an amazing opportunity, great mercy that we were allowed. And then that year, I remember he went 3 feet under. You know, of course, we couldn't continue going into the altar. We couldn't go anymore into the temple room. So only Radha Madhava, Ashtasakhi, the 10 of them, and Narsingadev, because he is drilled inside. That's why he could not be lifted. And Radha Madhava, too heavy. You know, Madhava weighs 1 ton. So they could not be carried. So Madhava was only till his waist. You know, Madhava and Ashtasakhi, Radha Madhava were till their waist, they were in the water. And Narsingadev was 3 feet below the water. For this condition was there for almost 5 to 6 days. And then the water slowly started receding. Anyways, so these are some flood pastimes, and there are many, many more pastimes in the book Narsingha Leela. You can read it online. But this is the most astonishing form of the Lord, that although he is so ferocious, but still the Lord cannot stop laughing. And this is the special potency of the Dham of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose mood Lord Narsingadev has taken. So Lord Narsingadev is not only the most ferocious one, but he has become the most audarya one, the most merciful, the most compassionate one. So with this, you know, if I keep talking on Lord Narsingadev, it'll go on and on, but it's really getting late, so I will end here. Thank you very much. All glories to Lord Narsingadev. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, very wonderful class, very wonderful pastimes of Lord Narsingadev. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Okay, go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. It is mesmerizing and it took our breath for almost, that is my breath for all this while. It's so, so, so wonderful. Thank you so much, Karupura Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, Mataji, which book you were talking about? Narsingadev Leela, right?
Yes, if you just type Narsingha Leela in Google, it comes up as a PDF version. So you can read that.
So is it written by Panchangamrita Prabhu?
Yes, it is written by him. Okay. It is published by Mayapur, and there are many pastimes that are told by him, and it's a compilation of pastimes that many devotees have had with Lord Narsingadev.
No. Thank you so much, Mataji. I was not aware we have such nice book. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Kala Sudha Mataji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam to your Seva. Hare Bol, such a wonderful class. Thank you very much for all the Leelas. Mataji, can you sing Ugram Veeram after Vishal?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Sure. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji. So much of nectar. Today's appearance day of Narasimha Dev. Really like the point. It's like an appearance day is hearing about his pastime is something is very pleasing. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kalasudha Mataji. Thank you so much for this wonderful narration. And especially you mentioned how the Ugrasen Lord Narasimha, he came in the Mayapur and installation, and that was very nice to know. And in the beginning you mentioned also that how the Pelan Maharaj or how the Arjuna or how the Kunti being so close to the Krishna, but they were always in kind of in a trouble. So similarly, means it was coming in my mind, you know, who are the worshipper of the Shiva and all other demigods, they are more opulent kind of, they are more in a better situation. But the worshipper of Krishna, in as we see in the Brajdham also, materially they are not in a good situated. So what is the reason, Mataji? Because it's a very commonly asked question.
Well, there are a lot of Krishna devotees, you know, who are very opulent also. You know, if you see, Srila Prabhupada actually, when he one time was giving a class in the home of the Birlas, at that time, Srila Prabhupada said that, you see, the reason why Birlas, or, you know, he took the name of a few more industrialists in India, and he said that the reason why they are most successful and they are so opulent is because they are worshippers of Lakshmi Narayan. They worship and serve Lakshmi Narayan, and that is a fact. You know, Lakshmi Narayan is worshipped by them. But Srila Prabhupada also said, seeing his own life, Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna took away all opulence from me. You know, Prabhupada said this many, many times. He said that I wanted to start my own business. I did that, and then, you know, but still Krishna took away everything. And Srila Prabhupada would quote this very special verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, that to whom I have special mercy, from them I take away everything. Srila Prabhupada would always quote that particular verse. So you'll see that although, yes, Brajbasis or, you know, sometimes devotees of Krishna, whether they have opulence or whether they don't have opulence, in every circumstances they are actually very blissful. They don't feel that, if you see the Brajbasis, even though they are so poor, but if you are doing parikrama, you get to see the most compassion, you know, the compassionate nature of the Brajbasis. They never close their doors to their homes. Their homes are always open. And when you pass by, they'll actually call you, come, come inside, we'll make roti for you, you come and eat, come drink water. You don't even have to ask them. They are not so opulent, yes, but their hearts are the most opulent ones because Krishna resides in those hearts and they recognize that fact. Krishna resides in everybody's heart, but many people don't recognize that. But the Brajbasis, they are so amazing that even though they have so much of poverty, they might even be staying in a mud house, you know. But still, they are just, you know, having their chulha, which is just made of coal, not even gas. They don't even have gas. They still have, you know, this angiti kind of thing that they're making their rotis in. But still, these Brajbasis are so amazing. They will still ask that, please, aao, roti khao. You know, they don't close their doors. Where will we find such opulent people? So the devotees of Krishna, yes, sometimes when they are, whether they are very opulent or whether they don't have opulence, it doesn't really matter to them, because in every situation they are surrendered to Krishna. Their love for Krishna is surpassing all of that. And this is just a situation that they may be put in. We can see in the life of a personality like Ambarish Prabhu, you know, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he is, you know, very opulent person. But when you see him as a person, he's a very simple person. You know, no one can say that, oh, he is the grandson of, you know, Henry Ford. It's very difficult to say that because he lives so simply. The same thing was exemplified by the Pandavas. When the Pandavas were the rulers of the entire world, they had all the opulences. But when they were staying in the forest in incognito and in the forest, it didn't matter to them, because in all circumstances they were remembering Krishna. So yes, many people, they take this as an opportunity to say that, oh, demigod worshippers, they actually have a lot of, you know, material opulences. Devotees don't have that opulence. Fine. It is up to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna did take away everything from me personally, because if he wouldn't have taken away everything personally, then I wouldn't be forced to come to Vrindavan, and I wouldn't be forced to come to the West so that I can get disciples who are having, you know, property worth 40, you know, crores. Now I don't even have, when I actually came, I didn't even have even 40 rupees, but now I have things, you know, property. If Srila Prabhupada says that, yes, this property, you know, ISKCON actually is his property. So his, you know, in that sense, Prabhupada's financial condition is the greatest of all, you know. So in that sense, Srila Prabhupada would always say this, that for a devotee, it doesn't really matter. But yes, some people try to see it in that sense that, you know, yes, if you worship Krishna, then he takes away everything. Well, not in every condition. You know, he takes away because Krishna does what is best for that devotee. If Krishna feels that that devotee will serve very nicely when he has opulence, then Krishna will give him all opulence. But if Krishna feels that this devotee doesn't need that opulence, then Krishna will take away that opulence. So a devotee is not really, you know, attached or, you know, thinks that opulence, if he worships Krishna, he will automatically get opulence. So, does that answer your question, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, so true. And as you mentioned about Brajavasis, I still remember while doing the Parikrama, we were hundreds, and they were calling everyone, and they were feeding charge, lassi, fresh.
Yes.
To everyone, one glass, two glass, how many glass you want to drink, you can drink.
Yes.
So,
so this kind of nature you will not find amongst even the richest of people.
Yes.
So what kind of richness do they have? What
Thank
is
you.
The use of such opulence? But we need to be rich by the, we need to, you know, my Guru Maharaj, Srila Jaya Pataka Maharaj, he says, yes, people are aspiring to be crorepatis nowadays, you know. Before, you know, in the 90s, there was the concept of lakhpatis, you know, being owner of many lakhs. But nowadays, it's the concept of being crorepatis, you know, being the owner of many, many crores. So Jaya Pataka Maharaj, he says that all devotees are crorepatis. We know why? Because we chant the holy name, which is, you know, 17, you know, 100 names every day. We are chanting minimum 16 rounds. So that is equivalent to a few thousand names every single day. So if you count it in a year, it is more than crores. So we are all crorepatis if we are chanting Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanat Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances. I'm very fortunate to have your association and pray Narasimha to give the energy to keep enlightening us like this, Mataji. Mataji, I have a question.
Yes.
Mataji, if you see Lord Narasimha's form in different places, like where the worship is happening in different big temples, right? Somehow, I mean, compared to, you know, if you see other deities, they have only one posture, like Shiva or, I mean, Lord, you know, Shamsundar or anyone, right? So, what are these different forms telling us from Narasimha's pastimes or from his leelas? Because we see Ugra Narasimha, we see Lakshmi Narasimha, and we see, I'm from South India, I'm from Vishakhapatnam, actually. I know they do, they put a lot of chandan on top of it. And in one part of South India, they do Panakala, Narasimha. So it looks like Narasimha is taking different forms and different postures to tell us something. So I'm ignorant, Mataji. So if you can glorify or maybe let us know, it will be a great day for me.
Jai, thank you. Thank you for bringing this point up, Prabhu. For short of time, we couldn't get into all those details. But yes, you're very, very right that, especially if you see Ahobalam, there's Varaha Narasimha, there's Karanja Narasimha, there's Malola Narasimha, so many Narasimhadev, you know, 9 different forms of Lord Narasimhadev. And of course, there's Panaka Narasimha, there is, in near Hyderabad, we just were there and we went to this Yadagiri Gutta Narasimha, beautiful Lord Narasimhadev. And that Lord Narasimhadev is so cute. He is with Mother Lakshmi Devi, and Lord Narasimhadev, he has a little paunch, you know. He's so sweet to look at, you know. He literally has a, you know, like a pot belly, you know. So cute he looks. So this Yadagiri Gutta Narasimha. So Lord Narasimhadev, he has different moods, you know, based on these different leelas that he is manifesting. And so there is Narasimhadev, you know, when he, of course, the one that we described today is Ugra Narasimha, Ugrastano Narasimha, to be more specific, the one Narasimhadev who is just about to come out from the pillar. So that is Ugrastano Narasimha. And there is even just plain Ugra Narasimha, who is worshipped in Ahobalam. That's Jwala Narasimha, who is there, as over there. And so these are different stages of Lord Narasimhadev's appearance, you know. And Malola Narasimha or Lakshmi Narasimhadev, these are deities where Lord Narasimhadev was more pacified, you know. And the deity that is there with Prahlad Maharaj, you know, especially in Ahobalam Narasimha, the main deity of Ahobalam Narasimha, he is with Prahlad. And so he is, you know, Prahlad was the only one who could pacify Lord Narasimhadev, even before Lakshmi Devi could come. When Lakshmi Devi was approached to come to Lord Narasimhadev, she said, "No, that's not my husband. He's not that angry. I don't know who this person is. I can't go to him." She was scared to approach Lord Narasimhadev because right after killing Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasimhadev was roaring and he was all, you know, with his blood-filled hands, and he had worn all the veins and the, you know, the tubes from from Hiranyakashipu's belly. He had taken out everything and he had worn those as garlands, you know, around his neck. So he was looking very ferocious, very ghastly he was looking. And he was roaring in anger, sitting in that doorway. And Lakshmi Devi was scared. The devatas were all scared. So then Lord Brahma, he requests little Prahlad to go and pacify the Lord. So the verse that we read today was, you know, when Prahlad goes, seeing this beautiful boy, this beautiful devotee come up to Lord Narasimhadev, immediately Lord Narasimhadev became pacified. And he picked up Prahlad and he put him on his lap. And, you know, he started smelling the hair of Prahlad Maharaj. That's a sign of affection that fathers do towards their children. You know, they smell the hair of their sons. And so Lord Narasimhadev became immediately pacified, and then the devatas came and, you know, garlanded Lord Narasimhadev, and then Lakshmi Devi finally came and sat on his lap. So these are different stages of Nrsimhadev becoming, you know, from his ferocious form, becoming pacified slowly by slowly by slowly. And so when Lakshmi Devi came and sat on his lap, that is the most shanta form of Lord Nrsimhadev, the most pacified form, when Lakshmi Devi came and sat on him. So that is Lakshmi Nrsimha, or Malola Nrsimha. In Ahobalam, he's called as Malola. Malola is another form of way to address Lakshmi Devi. So like this, Lord Nrsimhadev has his different moods, and based on his different moods, he is actually having different forms. So Panaka Nrsimhadev, he is very, very special. it is explained that this Panaka Nrsimha, he is actually, you know, just the face of Lord Nrsimhadev. Now they've put up like a mask, so you can see that golden kind of a statue, but actually the actual deity is below that, you know, he's just the face of, it's a self-manifested deity of Lord Nrsimhadev, and he just drinks Panaka. Panaka is this jaggery water, that jaggery and lime and ginger, you know, is Panaka. Very special drink of Lord Nrsimhadev, very dear to him, because actually it is said that this Panaka, ginger and jaggery drink, it actually pacifies. You know, it pacifies an angry person. If you drink that, it just pacifies you. So therefore, because Lord Nrsimhadev is so angry, so to pacify him, he's given this jaggery water so that he stays pacified and calm and cool. He becomes calm and cool. So this Nrsimhadev, in Panaka Nrsimhadev, he drinks, you know, how much ever, if you take a small glass or you take a big tumbler or you take a big pitcher, whatever you take, as soon as it is half, you'll hear a belch, you know, like that. And then Nrsimhadev is satisfied, the rest of it is Mahaprasad. So that happens till today. You know, this is Panaka Nrsimha, he's a self-manifested deity. So like this, there are different deities based on different moods of Lord Nrsimhadev. So I hope this answers your question.
Yes, Mataji, thank you. Very astonishing and very delightful to hear so many forms, and, you know, understanding Lord is not so easy. So that's very
good.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, just like Krishna, he has different names based on his, you know, unlimited, Krishna has unlimited names based on his unlimited pastimes. So similarly, Lord Nrsimhadev has unlimited forms based on his unlimited moods. That is the thing. Every deity of Lord Nrsimhadev has a different mood. And in his different mood, he's worshipped as a different deity, like that.
So Mataji, after appearing Lord Nrsimhadev and after worshipping, so did he stay or he just, means that was for the short time he was?
Did he stay, matlab, did he stay on with Prahlad Maharaj?
Yeah, I mean from the Amrit planet, or just it was for the short time appearance?
He appeared for that short while, then he went back to his eternal abode, you know, where Prahlad Maharaj lives eternally in one of the Vaikuntha planets, is the planet of Lord Nrsimhadev. Lord Nrsimhadev belongs there eternally. So after finishing this pastime, after being worshipped and pacified by the devtas, everything, Lord Nrsimhadev had a very nice conversation with Prahlad Maharaj, and then Lord Nrsimhadev wound up and he went back to his own planet.
Okay.
But it is said that Lord Nrsimhadev resides permanently in some few places, and there are, you know, few kshetras that Lord Nrsimhadev has personally manifested. You know, like Swayambhu Murtis are there, that self-manifested deities, and so Lord Nrsimhadev is said to be eternally residing in such kshetras also, Nrsimha kshetras.
Ah.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanat Pranam. Mataji, I have one question. Mataji, the Narasimha Dev also, when we pray to Narasimha Dev, actually, we also get the mercy of Radha Krishna. Yes, I mean, there, what sense is that, Mataji? Because this time is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is there.
Yes, because Lord Narasimhadev is the one who actually destroys the obstacles on the path of our devotional service. So whatever obstacles are there, he is Vighna Nashana. Vighna means obstacles and Nashana means destroyer. So the one who destroys the obstacles on the path of our devotional service, he is Lord Narasimhadev. So whatever difficulties we have, you know, and we are in this path of devotional service, we want to actually, you know, please Radha Krishna. We want to serve Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So whatever obstacles we have in this path, Lord Narasimhadev is the one who is clearing them out. So that sense, Lord Narasimhadev is, you know, helping us in serve Radha Krishna. Helping us to serve Radha Krishna in a better way. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji, yes. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. That was marvelous to share with Padan Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Mataji, and very nice pastime. And especially the snake pastimes are very scary, but Lord Narasimhadev is very merciful, you know. He protects, and devotees of Narasimhadev, they have no fear.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very, very wonderful pastimes. And that you narrated, very wonderful. Thank you. Very nicely you explained also in detail.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Just probably 2 points that I'm probably asking you to repeat. But you were referring to Lord Narasimhadev as always laughing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think I probably missed that explanation, why we say he's always laughing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think I missed the reason why.
Okay. So just repeating that, well, Lord Narasimhadev, especially if you look at the form of Lord Narasimhadev in Mayapur, Ugrastana Narasimha, he looks as if he's always laughing. He can't stop laughing because he is in the mood of Lord Chaitanya, you know, who is the presiding deity of the Dham. So therefore, although Lord Narasimhadev is in his most fearful, in his most ferocious form, in the form of Ugra Narasimha, but he is still laughing because he is taken on the mood of the presiding deity of the Dham, who is Lord Chaitanya. And he is always in a very jovial mood, very, you know, relaxed and you know, the mood of Lord Chaitanya is the Audarya nature of Lord Chaitanya is manifesting in Lord Narasimhadev.
Oh, okay. And also, you said that, did you say that the form of Lord Narasimhadev, who has Lakshmi on his lap, is that more peaceful than the one where he is patting Prahlad on his head, or is it the other way around?
No, the one with Lakshmi Devi on his lap, he is the most peaceful, Shanta. The one with Prahlad, he is pacified. He is called as pacified. But the one with Lakshmi Devi, he is the most pacified.
Yeah, I guess I was the reason why I was probably confused about which one was which was because I thought that when he was doing the Hiranyakashipu pastime, I thought even Lakshmi was afraid.
That's right. So that's why only Prahlad came first to pacify him. So as soon as Narsingadev saw Prahlad, he became pacified. And then the Devtas came, and then finally Lakshmi Devi came. And when Lakshmi Devi came, he became the most pacified. There was no trace of anger in him at that time. He was just very merciful at that time. I mean, he's always merciful, but he just started displaying his, you know, the ferociousness from Lord Narsingadev had disappeared when Lakshmi Devi came.
Mm-hmm.
So he just became like the protector.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, anybody else has any question or comments for Mataji? Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much for the wonderful nectar and a happy Narsingha Chaturdashi to all the devotees. We can conclude it here.
I just wanted to honor the request of Vrinda Gopika Mataji to sing Gramvira Mahavishnu. If I can just do that.
Yeah,
very well.
Shri Narsingha, Jai Narsingha, Jai 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 Shri Narsingha, Ugravira Mahavishnum, Jalantam Sarvatomukham, Narsingham Darshanam Bhatram, Mithya Mithyam Namamiham, Shri Narsingha, Jai Narsingha, Jai 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 Shri Narsingha, Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukham Padma Bringam. Jai Narsingadev Bhagavan Ki Jai.
Jai Shri Narsingadev Ki Jai. Parvatma Ki Jai. Thank you, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam.
Jai. Hare Krishna.
Mataji. Panchakalpatarubhyasya Kripasindubhyavachya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Shishi Narsingadev Bhagavan Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai,
Kalashita Mataji Ki Jai.